presented himself alive to his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. From the Acts of the Apostles, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, being the second to last Sunday of Epiphany, is designated as World Mission Sunday. Now, for those of you who were in our adult Sunday school last week, you might have noticed that the lessons for today are not the same ones that we studied last week. That was my mistake. In the lectionary, there's the option for the next to last Sunday of Epiphany before Lent to have its own lessons for World Mission Sunday. And honestly, I just forgot that I decided we were going to go with those. So, sorry about the confusion, but here we are. So, in our lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we have the risen Christ. He's going about reaching himself to the disciples in order to prepare them for their ministry, to equip them to carry out the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the command that Jesus gave to the disciples following his resurrection to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he had commanded. And it is this Great Commission that every Christian on the planet is called to, all in our different and various ways, but without exception. And I like the phrase that I opened the sermon with because it gives us sort of the two primary ways in which we can accomplish this task. It says that Jesus presented himself alive by many proofs. Now I'm going to be taking some liberties by sort of separating out these two things, but I think it holds up well enough. We are to present Jesus alive and to offer proofs. Now, for Jesus, these two things went fairly hand in hand, because the fact of his appearance was proof enough. And if not, he could offer the tangible experience of feeling the very wounds of his crucifixion. For us, it's not so easy. So when we look at these two things as separate endeavors, I find one to be somewhat complex, but generally quite easy to present, while the other is quite simple, but a daily challenge and struggle to actually get right. So let's start with the more complex but easier one. This is the offering of proofs. I say it's complex because it takes study and a working knowledge of various types of proofs that are out there. It has a specialized vocabulary that goes along with it and is heavily cerebral. But at the end of the day, it is a discipline that can be learned. Now, this isn't to say that one will not run into those who will disagree with you and argue various philosophical points to the contrary, but honestly, it remains in the intellectual arena. Now, I would be the first to admit that I have a very loose grasp on many of these proofs, but I think it's beneficial for us to at least acknowledge that there are highly educated and intelligent people out there who have devoted themselves to the pursuit of truth in exploring these various avenues of providing proof for the existence of God. And so, I'll offer a few of them here. For instance, there is the ontological argument of St. Anselm. The argument from being, which basically goes like this. God is a being of which nothing greater can be imagined. The idea of God exists in the mind, and then something greater would be a being that exists in the mind and in reality. And so, if God exists in the mind, then we can imagine something greater, which would be God, who exists in reality. Yeah, that was a little different. How about the unmoved mover from Thomas Aquinas, which acknowledges that everything in motion has had to have been put in motion by someone or something else. And when you trace that back to the farthest point, you encounter
the unmoved
mover, being God. Aquinas had a couple of other similar cosmological arguments, like that one, but he also had another, a teleological argument. I said there was a specialized vocabulary here. The teleological argument is the argument from design, in which we find things in the natural world that are working towards an end. Things in this world are working with purpose, which infers the existence of a designer, the one who determined that purpose. And that designer would be God. There are also various moral arguments which have to do with human dignity and value and innate moral knowledge that we have, but I'm not anywhere near versed enough on those to offer any kind of summary. So like I said, easy, right? Again, I only say easy because these arguments exist. They can be learned, they can be discussed, and straightforwardly presented. Assuming you have that knowledge. Now, these proofs pale in comparison to the real-life flesh and blood encounter that Jesus' disciples experienced, which is why the other part is so crucially important for us, presenting Jesus alive. This is the simple one. It takes no extensive book learning. You need a bunch of letters behind your name to understand it. All you need are a few simple things. You have to believe that Jesus is alive. You have to believe that Jesus dwells within you in his life-giving Holy Spirit. And you have to believe that you are part of his body here on earth, the church. That's all you have to know. But remember, I said that this one is far more challenging because it's true what you need to know is quite simple, but everything that goes along with it, that's the difficult part. First of all, the things that you know, that Jesus is alive and the Spirit dwells within you, that takes faith and conviction. When I say you have to know them, I don't mean in the same way that you can know the ontological arguments of St. Anselm. You have to know it in your heart. It has to be the very foundation of your identity. And with believing you are part of the body of Christ comes great responsibility. Because that is exactly how we go about presenting Jesus alive. To show the world that Jesus is truly alive, we have to face the world ready to love, which means that we are ready to be hurt. Presenting Jesus alive to the world includes bearing the cross that he bore. It takes courage, and it takes sacrifice. The earthly proofs, they're important. They present a rational case for our faith, which can help remove some of the barriers that people put up between themselves and a willingness to accept God, those intellectual barriers. But it's the irrational stuff that really turns people's hearts. Loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, giving generously to complete strangers. We serve the living creator of the entire universe, who set the stars in motion and holds everything together by his power. So it's our job to make sure the world knows that he is alive by showing that he is alive in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.